Yeah, that was a fantastic video. We love seeing these stories. Don't stop sending them in. Keep reaching out during COVID-19 and send your One Thing videos in to us, y'all. We'd love to get those for you. My name's Andy. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to be able to bring the message to you today. Well, would you pray with me? Father God, I just thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. I pray now that these words, Lord, will be your words, that you will prepare minds and hearts to receive them. May you be made great, and I be made small this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, we have been in this series of Who Do You Think You Are? We receive these messages from the world all the time, telling us who we need to be, what we need to do to live a life that matters. But God, He says who we are. He tells us, and we're exploring this through our six practices here at Legacy, the six practices that help us live out our identity as a child of God. So last week, Brandon talked about radical hospitality, being radical in our love for others because God is radical in the love He has for us. And so today's message, like we said, we're going to talk about passion. You are passionate. Now, the definition for passionate that I'm using is having, compelled by, or ruled by intense emotion or strong feelings. The question is, what are you passionate about? Is it a hobby? Is it your profession? For me, it's cooking. I love to cook, and I'm passionate about that. But one of our practices here at Legacy is passionate worship. And once again, what is worship? That can be a little tricky to explain as well, because worship is both an attitude and an act. I love an old definition out of an old Webster's dictionary. It says, worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. So what do you give a person who has everything? I think this makes it easier for us to understand. Do you know that person who buys what they want when they want it? They have everything they need and they're hard to buy for. What do you give that person? What do we give God? He's not only could buy everything, He created everything. What do you give God? We give God our passionate worship because He tells us to. He tells us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And our worship is a response to what God has done for us. One of my favorite examples we're going to be going through, we're going to be in Luke chapter 7. And this is a story of passionate worship. So join me as we open God's word to Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt down behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown much love, but a person who is forgiven little only shows little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word. We know that an encounter with your word is an encounter with you. I pray that you will bless this encounter this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take a look at these two characters that are involved in this encounter with Jesus. And first, I want to look at the Pharisee, Simon. Simon, I think, was motivated with his own agenda, inviting Jesus to dinner. He might have been looking to really try to understand, who is this person of Jesus? Is he a foe or an ally? Trying to figure out exactly how to respond to all the things, all the stuff that was happening in Jesus' ministry. He was creating a buzz in the community, and Simon probably wasn't very sure about how to respond to that. But one of the things that's certain in this is he didn't properly honor Jesus when he arrived at his home, and he certainly wasn't there to worship Jesus. Now, on the other end of the spectrum is this woman. What a fantastic example of passionate worship by this woman. She's prepared. She has brought her best, her alabaster flask of perfume that probably cost a year's wages for her. And she also just didn't care about anything other than being able to worship and honor Christ. She didn't care what other people thought. Her need to respond was so great, she was willing to do whatever she needed to do that. And then she humbles herself. She comes in someplace that she probably wasn't invited and falls at Jesus' feet. He would have been reclining at the table, and his legs would have been kind of out to the side and behind him. So she comes behind him and falls at his feet. And then she recognizes what has happened. She probably thought Jesus would have had his feet washed by a servant, because that's what should have happened. A servant should have washed his feet. The host, Simon, should have kissed his cheek, and then he should have been anointed with oil. Can you imagine her surprise? She gets there ready to pour the perfume on his feet and recognizes none of this has happened. The tears of what Jesus has done in her life are already probably flowing, and all of a sudden they start to flow in abundance. They fall onto his dust-covered feet, and she sees the tracks in the dirt on his feet, and she recognizes, I can wash his feet. She uses her own tears to wash his feet. She hadn't planned this, but she continues to wash his feet, to kiss his feet, and just to continue to serve Jesus. And then she wouldn't have had a towel. She hadn't planned on washing his feet. She uses what Scripture says is the most glorious part of her body, her hair, to dry his feet. Man, how do we develop that kind of passion for worship? That kind of passion for our Lord? It's a fire inside of us. I love the fact that we're by a fireplace this morning, because fire is a great illustration of what our worship should be. It can be a roaring, blazing fire. It can be a smoldering ember. And the thing about smoldering embers is when you fan those, they flare up again. When you throw another log on them, it flares up. And all of it starts with a spark. So today I want to use that fire analogy and break it down for us into some workable steps to really lead us into passionate worship in our own lives. So the F in fire stands for focus. Be intentional. This woman was prepared. She had a plan. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume and had a plan on what she was going to do to reach God. For us, our preparation, our focus needs to start with prayer. And what we'll see is God will respond. I want you to recognize something in verse 44 of this passage. This woman had come into the room and she was behind Jesus. He would have been reclining at table and his feet would have been out behind him. And she came up behind him, and this is what she did. She was there and serving him. But when Jesus was talking to Simon, look at what happens in verse 44. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon. So Jesus is talking to Simon, and then he turns to the woman and addresses her. When we pray, that's what happens. God turns his full attention to us. He's right there in our face, hearing us. So we start off with prayer, and that is a great way for us to be able to focus our worship. The second thing we need to really recognize is that it's personal. You have to find what works for you. What works for me might not work for you. Posture, place, music, scripture, all those things are very personal. Find what works for you and then protect it. Make changes to your time, to your schedule, to the space you need, to where you can meet God every single day, and then don't ever miss that appointment. Don't let anything get in the way of your time for passionate worship with our Lord. The I stands for ignore. Ignore what? I would say ignore everything. Everything else that can get in the way, we need to ignore. Look at the woman in this passage. She is just totally in awe and encaptured with Jesus and being able to be at his feet. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Simon the Pharisee, he is caught up with his own thoughts. He's distracted by the scene that she's creating. Man, she doesn't care. She's ignoring everything around her. She is solely focused on Jesus. That's the reality of it. Simon couldn't get past what she was doing and his own thoughts about it. Y'all, there's so many distractions that we face in worship. From kids to other people to music, things we don't like, all sorts of stuff that's going on. We've got to learn to be able to ignore it. Kevin Costner starred in a film called For Love of the Game, and it's a baseball movie, and he was a pitcher, and what he would do is he would clear the mechanism, and I think that's what our worship needs to be like.
Hello, Mike.
Y'all, when we move into worship, we clear the mechanism, we ignore everything, and we worship our God face to face. Just like Jesus turned to the woman, he's right there with us. We ignore everything. Remember is the R. Remember and respond. It's not about us. Worship is not what we get out of it. It's what we bring to it. And remember, whether you are forgiven much, whether you are forgiven little, remember the cross of Christ, the reality of the crucifixion. Jesus was opened up, whipped, beaten, spit on, belittled. He carried his cross up a hill and he was crucified. And the reality, what we need to remember, is that should have been us. We deserved that death, and Jesus was perfect and took our place. We have to remember that always, and that is what we respond in worship with. And that leads me into the E, and the E stands for everything. This gift that this woman bought was probably the most expensive thing that she owned. It was this jar of perfume that cost, like we said, a day's wages probably. Do we give our best to God? Do we give our best in everything we do to God? Because worship is a way of living. It's not just a Sunday morning affair. It's a way of living. Bring our praise and worship into everything we do. This was not happening here in a church. This was happening in the Pharisee's home. Worship now is happening in our homes every Sunday morning. It also needs to be happening in our jobs. It needs to be happening in our families. It needs to be happening in our quiet time, our living rooms, our conversations, in our giving of our talent, time, and treasure, in our relationships. When we're driving, it needs to be happening. Worship is a way of living. If we're going to have it happen in our driving, though, make sure you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes open. No hand raising and eye closing while you're driving. Worship is a way of living. Passionate worship is what we were created to do. There's a story I read about three gray whales in Alaska, and they were stranded under some ice. There was a 5-mile sheet of ice that they couldn't break through to get air. And there was one 25-foot hole that the whales kept surfacing under. And they kept hitting the ice trying to break through. They were bruised and battered and gonna die if somebody didn't do something. So a village started digging holes about every 25 or 30 yards. And the whales would move to the next hole. and then they would dig another hole, and they would move to the next hole for 5 miles until they hit the open ocean. Y'all, that's a great picture of what our worship is sometime for us, because we can be overwhelmed with the darkness of this world, with everything that's going on, with everything that's required of us right now. We can feel like we are trapped. And our worship can be like that air hole for those whales, that it's life-sustaining, it's life-giving for us. But one day, I love the idea of Jesus returning. What if he would have returned when they were rescuing those whales, came down from on high? I picture Iron Man dropping down. Whenever he comes into a scene, he drops down and there's that pause. Think of Jesus landing on that sheet of ice like Iron Man and shattering all the ice, freeing the whales just like that. Y'all, that is our future. That's what's going to happen one day when Jesus comes back. In the meantime, our worship can be those life-sustaining moments that we have until Jesus comes again. So wherever you are, whatever your worship looks like, your personal connection with God, practice passionate worship. Respond to the truth of the gospel that Jesus died for you, and let your praise and worship light a fire in your life. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the fact that you love us so much that you would send your son Jesus to die on a cross for me. Lord, I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. But it is a gift that I'm so grateful for. Lord, I pray that you will let us all move forward looking at our worship in a new way. How can we make our lives a response, Lord? Not a Sunday morning hour that we spend, but every single moment, Lord, how can we make our very lives be a response to you for what you have done for us? Lord, we love you. We can never fully understand this side of heaven why you love us the way you do, but we thank you for it. Now, Lord, I just pray all these things in the mighty name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Your impact continues. New people regularly join us online, and others grow in faith all the time. Easter Sunday was seen not just in Bismarck, but Kentucky and Seattle as well. One person noted, "Thank you for giving me something I really needed today. Your generosity makes stories like this possible. Thank you." And this morning now, as we receive God's tithes, your gifts and offerings, you can give via the Legacy app, online at legacyumc.org/give, or mail or drop off a check at the church office. If you're joining us from another church, we just want to remind you, we're so glad that you're here for worship, but continue to give to your home church as their mission continues, just like our mission continues here at Legacy. Now let's sing together our closing song.